Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, and I'm an oculoplastic surgeon with a special interest in facial aesthetics and also the founder of MZ Skin. And this is the Guinea Pig Podcast. Why are we called the guinea pig?
Because that's what I am. I'm writer and journalist Fiona Goldfarb, and I'm here, ready and willing, to try out just about any treatment and treatment going. We are the breath that you take before trying anything out there. So, if you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then come join us from the clinic every Thursday on the Guinea Pig Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the clinic for another episode of the Guinea Pig.
Hi, and joining us today is founder of Beauty Stack and of Wah Nails, Sharmadine Reed. Should I say of Wah Nails, but is Wah Nails still...
Thanks for having me, guys. I closed Wah Nails last year, July, but it's still legendary, so surely everyone knows that I...
You are a legend.
I'm not a legend, but Wah is legendary, very much so.
And when I was at Vogue, I started hearing about Wah Nails because some of our editors were coming to see you and coming back with your kind of amazing creation. So, Sharmadine, tell me a little bit about your story, like how you came into the beauty business, how Wah came to become such a thing, and what's evolved since then.
So the shortest version is that I studied fashion communication at Central St Martins. I actually always... since I was 12 years old, wanted to be a stylist and creative director. I didn't really know what those titles were, but I knew I would look at a picture and I'd be like, I want to make the picture. I don't want to be in the picture.
How interesting.
So from age 12 to 18, I crafted my whole schooling based on going to Central St Martins only. Started there in 2003, but before I actually started my degree, I interned for Nicola Formichetti and Kim Jones, and then throughout my whole degree I only worked for them, so I feel like I had the best education. Nicola was one of the early people to do street casting, so he taught me a lot about learning about tribes and subcultures and referencing and basically how to construct a picture.
I think for anyone listening who might not know who Nicola is, he has been incredibly important as well. Apart from anything else, he was creative director for Lady Gaga through all of her kind of more interesting looks, the earlier really kind of crazy meat dress and all of the rest. And with Diesel, he's worked and with some of the really top. So he's a kind of creative director, come stylist, come visionary.
He's a total visionary, but I worked with him when he was at Dazed and Confused as like a young fashion editor. Okay. So I just saw raw creativity. I absolutely loved it. In my second year of my degree, I wanted to learn the computer program. So I made Wah magazine as a way to learn how to use InDesign and Photoshop. And I was living this really double life, like going to, hip hop clubs at night, and then going to St Martin's in the day, spending my student loan on either Vivienne Westwood or Primark. And then, I made this magazine and it started to open me up to this very cool street hip-hop world in London and beyond, actually.
Does Wah stand for anything?
It stands for We Ain't Hoes.
Ah.
I was 19, so, And then what happened was then I worked, Nicola in my year in industry said, why don't you go and work at Arena Home Plus for Joanne Furness. So Joanne Furness was the editor then. There was like Grazia and Heat Magazine and Love and Katie Grand's crew were all in the same building. And that was my first, like, I'm like fully in publishing and magazines. I'm literally living my dream life. Then I go back to school and graduate. I graduate with a first class degree. Then I immediately start working as a stylist, mainly for editorial. I was like young, right? So I was just starting out. But then I got a lot of work with Nike, which essentially flew me around the world. So I was going to Asia a lot, the home of beauty. I was going to LA and Asia and New York. And I was 23, 24. My world was just opened up massively to experience outside of just pure fashion. So like going to nightclubs there, going to salons and spas there. And when you go to Asia, the hospitality is just on another level. And that's when I started to really think about my love of beauty, because I wasn't really a beauty product consumer, but I'd always love going to like the salon and getting stuff done. So with hip hop, getting your nails done is very much part of the culture. You know, having some long, crazy airbrush palm tree printed sunset nail. But then going to Tokyo, I would see Japanese nail culture, which was like more cutesy and like kawaii, right? So I was like, how can I merge like Japanese nail culture, which was the biggest nail culture in the world, like strongest nail culture, with hip hop vibe, with fashion, with a studio arty thing.
And I was like, a lot of things to mesh together.
Yeah, but that's what made it so popular, is that it was completely different to anything anyone had ever known. So when I was 24, I had the idea to open Wah, just purely based on a negative experience. Do you know what I actually wanted, your nails? I wanted a Dior double French. Do you remember Dior always used to have a half moon and a tip, so like a nude or a white nail with a red tip and a red half moon. And I went to my local salon to try and communicate that, and they just weren't interested. They weren't even trying to listen to what I wanted.
It's like going to a hairdresser and asking for a Marcel wave.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like
or an arty mullet.
Or unknown techniques.
Like an arty mullet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the person wouldn't do, eventually did do my nails, but it was so stressful. I remember my boyfriend at the time, who's now my son's father, picking me up, and I got into the car with him and slammed the door. I was so angry and was just like, I'm going to open my own nail salon. Literally, I just said it like that. And that was Christmas 2008. So I opened it July 2009, because that's how I work. I know. No, absolutely crazy.
Where was it?
So it was in Dalston, 2 minutes from my house. Dalston didn't have an overground. The flat white didn't exist. The iPhone wasn't ubiquitous and Instagram wasn't alive. So it was like a very different... I feel like I'm lucky to have been on the cusp of like old and new, like really through that transition period of how culture and beauty and fashion have been communicated from offline and online. So yeah, that's it really. And then Wah just became incredibly popular, but really because of my networks in fashion. So I already had a ready built-in audience, right? Because all the girls in the building was like, what's that girl on the third floor working on?
Yeah.
And people would come from West London in like black cabs to Dalston, to the depths of Dalston, to get their nails done.
But also because when I grew up, and my mum, who was never not happy to have an acrylic nail, she used to have these acrylic nails that she used to get so cross that she'd flick her hands and the nail would fly off her and come out. Her acrylic nails were always flying across the room, I remember my mum. But so acrylic nails really had that sort of connotation of either in our household, it was like, Jewish with a capital J,
yeah,
right, that kind of very brassy hair, acrylic nails. And you took something that was that sort of hip-hop culture. And how do you think, what was the first, did you go on a shoot, did you do a model's nails, what because then you ended up going in with into Bleach, didn't you?
So two things there. Nails pre-war were definitely associated with either a very working class culture, mm-hmm, across multiple races, or they were very shishi like, you know, let's go to South Moulton Street and get our nails done. There was no middle ground there. So for me, it was about, it was no different to what I was doing in fashion with referencing things, right? If you look at how a style, you know, a traditional good stylist does their work, they look at post-war working class subcultures and turn it into a shoot. That's how the whole industry has been built off, is referencing. All I did was essentially reference a culture, because I didn't grow up with nails being done. Like, no one in my...
My mum did, but nails, nice nails.
No, but even...
Oh, my God, my whole life I've been doing my nails. I did my own nails until I was in college, and I would always use my allowance. I had a weekly manicure and every other week a pedicure in Washington, and I went to the same... I wasn't. I went to that same...
And you also have that different cultural background, I think. But I think the average English girl...
No, when I moved here, I remember... I used to pay like $25 to have my nails done, my manicure and my pedicure. I moved to London in 2006.
Really expensive, yeah.
And it was like 160 pounds, 100 and some pounds. I was like, what?
Totally.
Where's the place around the corner that I can go to?
There was no place around the corner. No.
So there was, but there'd
not
always
in my
be
corners.
Dalston or Brixton, exactly. Yeah. So you'd either have this really uptown nail experience.
And they
or
weren't
really
even
downtown.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, where's the middle ground here and how can I mix the two? And the thing that actually made us take off was I went to a trade show and bought a pack, like, you know, like a QVC style stand of tat. There was a pack of nail art pens that, like, was just terrible packaging, everything. But I was like watching him and I was like, I can do the latest Marc Jacobs print with that now. That's literally what I thought. And then I bought the pack and I took them home and I practiced doing a leopard print. And I did a leopard print and I put it on Facebook because, again, Instagram didn't exist and everyone just went crazy for it. I hand-painted a leopard print with a fade underneath. So I did a yellow, pink, purple fade and then I drew the leopard print over the top. I still have that picture because
I want to see it.
It was our first ever picture and it blew up. And I also painted the front of the shop bright pink and I put Wild Nails coming soon. And then I put like gallery, fanzine, vintage clothing. I just made it up. But you got to remember the 55 bus route, which went from Hackney to Central London.
Oh my God, you're like a marketing genius, Shamadine.
Went past the shop and there was no overground. And no Uber. So to get to town,
they had to pass
the shop. So I painted it so you could see it from the top deck of the bus. Everyone who worked in fashion got that bus route. And all the Central St Martins students, because it dropped you off outside Central St Martins in Soho. So yeah, like, that's why on opening day, it took us like 2 months to build the salon. On opening day, it was crazy because of the combination of that picture on Facebook plus the bright pink. And actually, I met Alex Brownsall. She came into the shop and she said, I've always wanted to have a shop like this. And I said, why don't you have two chairs in the back of my shop? So Bleach opened up on our 1 year anniversary in the back of my store. And we've been like super close friends ever since.
Oh,
I saw Sam the other day.
So
yeah, 10 years later, War and Bleach. To me, it was like, War was like little Kim and Bleach was like Courtney Love.
All I ever wanted to do was go to Bleach. I could never get an appointment. Yeah. And my friend Fran Burns is really good.
Fran and Alex are really close, yeah.
And I was just like, I'm a friend of Fran. Can't I have an appointment? Because I just love that kind of Bleach, white toned hair.
She's so crazy.
I was never cool enough.
You are cool.
You're always cool.
I mean, now I know you.
It's the
feel
West
cool.
London vibe. It's really funny because I've moved to West London 3-4 years ago and I now understand the divide between East and West. Because when I was living in Dawson, I was like, why do I never see anyone from West London in East or vice versa? I never go East now. It's so far.
It's so
and
far.
And everything I need's in West.
It's so
but
far.
Yeah,
that's because you brought it West.
You were just in the West London crew. She probably was like,
she's
who is
not
she?
Having any of me, yeah. No. And Fran is East. So. Yeah.
What do you think about shellac?
I think I remember when shellac came out. Like, I distinctly remember two innovations in nails, which, you know, one of them changed the game forever and one of them didn't. The one that didn't was minx. Do you remember foil nails?
Yes.
You stuck the piece of foil on, a bit like this nail sticker, and it was the first thing to give you a truly chrome effect on nails. Beyonce pioneered it in an Upgrade You music video, and then it became crazy. And then the second one was gel polish. And CND, I believe, were the first people to essentially distribute it amongst salons. And I remember practicing with this gel, and it was quite tricky at first because the viscosity is completely different to polish. It took a while to get used to it. But then when you have it done, you're like, oh my goodness, it's not chipping.
That's such an incredible thing, isn't it?
I literally remember being like, it's not going. Well, this is crazy, considering that polish chips, you know, a week or so. I don't think I've worn natural nail polish for probably about 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. I just, it's point to me, it's a wasted exercise.
I wish I could say that. I do love gel. I almost never use it, mainly because I peel it off and I'm not supposed to do that. Yeah. So I find it very difficult to have something that I can't get rid of in the privacy of my own home. And it when it starts to peel like art chips even a little bit, I go nuts. And the only thing I want is all of it to come off. And I find a way to peel all of them off.
That bit there.
Peeling's like that. It's really bad.
Just
stresses your nail plate so much. I haven't even said the word nail plate for ages.
I've got a grow gel, I think, on mine, which your caddy, you sent me to. Okay, so it'll it can grow out and you can fill it in there.
Yeah, so it will be like a version of the same product, which is gel polish.
Okay.
And then what do you rate, how do you rate like these natural nail polishes or like, I don't know, the ones that are supposed to have nothing nasty in them? I don't actually know what's nasty in nail polishes. I'm a little ignorant on that level.
There's five chemicals that are nasty.
What are they?
Formaldehyde. I can't name them all off the top of my head.
Okay. But formaldehyde.
Somebody said if you can't pronounce them, they're bad.
Yeah, so formaldehyde's like the big one, but...
So all nail polish has formaldehyde?
Not all, because most nail polishes today should be fire-free, like as a standard.
So like SE, OPI?
They should be. There was a big shift, probably around... I'd say 6 years ago when you were, it's almost like organic food. Do you remember when organic, and there was a big organic label and a whole organic section in the supermarket, but now it's just normal. It was the same with five free. Like everything was being labeled as five free as a special thing, or vegan as a special thing. But now it's become industry standard. I'm enjoying this conversation because I haven't talked about nails for so long, but I'm so far removed.
We're
going
to talk about some other things.
I actually don't
ask you about.
Really know. But to be honest, like any product on your nail is obviously a chemical, right?
No,
we are made up of chemicals as human beings. Any additive thing to you is going to be chemical. And I think that sometimes the beauty industry relies so heavily on marketing to differentiate itself from its competitors that it can be really hard for the customer to
discern
what's correct and what's not. And I think that that's such a shame. But if you want to, it's like eating meat. You know, you can eat organic free range meat, but the fact is you're partaking in the meat industry, which in itself is is not great for the planet. So I think it's about making informed choices and accepting what you can, what you're comfortable with and what you're not.
So tell us now about Beauty Stack.
Cool. So at WAR, as I said, I was very heavily on Facebook mobile uploads. I had a BlackBerry phone and I would take a picture of every single nail and it would generate loads of interest and bookings. And then I remember buying an iPhone for the nail salon and got the iPhone to take better quality photos and I would upload them to Tumblr. I couldn't afford a web developer at the time, but the special thing about Tumblr, which I realize in hindsight, was it had a back-end network of millions of people using it. So if I'd made my website on Wix or GoDaddy or anything like that, I wouldn't have had millions of people reblogging the pictures because I would have had to rely on someone Googling us, finding the website and inquiring on a website. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whereas what I'm using is a networked image-based blogging platform where if you post a piece of good content, it gets distributed for you. So I was taking all of these pictures of our nails every single day. And a huge insight I found was that Salons create so much content and it doesn't go anywhere. So in the salon, let's say we had 50 customers that day, you would take about 6 pictures per customer, if not more. You'd take a video, you'd take it to different angles, and that those pictures go nowhere because you only post one client a day on Instagram, like the best one of the day.
Yeah.
So I was like, posting all these pictures on Tumblr made us internationally famous. I was flying all over the world setting up pop-up nail bars, and everyone would say, what is that nail? How did you do it? How much does it cost? How long does it take? Can I have it on my nails? Here's a picture. And I was just like, it would be so much easier if you could just book our Tumblr account. If you could go on our Tumblr or our Instagram and book a picture, like, it would save me so much agony.
I want that.
So I built it, babe. So I was like, I'm going to build that.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, you looked at it and you go, I want that. And then you,
totally.
You built it for me.
So I was like, I'm just going to build that because I need that for my own salon. Our salon was so unusual in its, like, notoriety and our complicated process that I thought, if I can make a booking system for Wah, I can make one for anyone. And what I mean by that is, you know how every single design's different? Our pricing structure is different. It was just really complicated. It wasn't like having a salon menu with, like, manicure, pedicure, acrylic nails. It was like an infinite combination of designs. So I opened a new Wah salon in Soho. I got it up and running for 9 months. And then I said, bye, guys. I'm going to see if I can build a tech company. And then that's what I did. And I set about to build Tumblr for beauty to begin with. So we built a website builder with networked sites. And then I realized after 3 months of developing that, I was like, oh my goodness, this should be an app. So then I spent a year developing the app. We released the first version, the very basic janky version, October 2018. So I found it really challenging. But I think that not many people, if none that I know of, who've built beauty booking systems have actually ran a salon before. So I'm trying to take that experience of running a salon, plus being a millennial, plus actually being a salon owner who's had to build her business on social media, because that's a very different proposition.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So to summarize, I'm essentially trying to make a social network plus booking platform in one system.
Which is what I've been using. I've been using BeautySat to get my nails done, and I've been finding it very easy. You go on it, you click on the thing that you like, you pay upfront some money towards it, and then you pay the rest when you finish. But you've also expanded from nails. I think you've just gone into brows and other...
So it's easy for you right now, Fiona, because you know what to book. It's incredibly difficult if you don't know. So for the last year, I've kept it a really small closed network. I've basically built it for my friends.
Right.
For beauty professionals that I know directly. And we have a wait list of over 1,000 beauty professionals who want to join it, but I've only let 50 on because...
Everywhere in the world or just... I'm going now, I'm installing it. I want to see how easy it is while we're on...
Well, don't do it because there's a really long sign-up process.
Oh,
so
okay.
What you see now is what we built basically a year or two ago, and we're about to relaunch the app, which is super exciting. Like I said, I built the first version for me and my friends, for a small group of beauty professionals who I know. We've had nails, brows, we've had personal trainers, massage therapists, we've had lash extensions, we've even had Reiki,
all tarot. Of these are vetted by you.
That's why I only have kept it at 50. And what we're doing for the launch is open access for everybody. I needed to test these first people because I needed to learn from them what they need from an app. It's really hard for me to launch an app in a way that where other tech founders who are not well known in whatever industry they're launching in can afford to essentially go into a room, code something, and have no one know about it until it's really ready. I feel that because I of what everyone was watching what I was doing next.
I think there's always that, but it's the second album.
Yes. So I'm like, so everybody's watching me. So just know that whatever the product is,
you do have an amazing reputation, and I think that comes with there's the burden of having a good reputation.
So where can you do this? Only in London, or can you do this? I mean, have you expanded to different cities?
Not yet.
So this is your tester.
What you see right now today, as in the day we're recording this podcast, is the beta version, which means it's a very small closed network of almost everyone on that platform. The most active users I'll know personally. What we're launching, and we're really excited to launch, is incredible search filters, preferences. So you can search near me, but you could also search French tip near me.
Yes.
We're launching what you can see, what your friends are having. So like, if I know you've booked that and it pops up on my feed, there's a trust there because you've had it and been to that person. I don't need to like vet them.
How do you know what to call things? So like, what
did
you just call?
Oh, that's my favorite bit.
Oh, so like,
Creating a beauty taxonomy.
Right now I'm on this, on the app, and there are these like absolutely super cool nails that I can't explain. So like, if I wanted to, you know,
what does the description say?
Torty Dreams. Oh, okay. But I would never know to come up with that name.
Because tortoise is a trend in nails right now. Tortoise nails. So she's called that style Torty Dreams. But actually, if you'd seen a tortoise shell nail, you would search tortoise shell nails. And if you can see, I'm clicking the tag tortoise nails and her nail has come up. Now, if I'd search tortoise, let me see if someone else has someone tagged it. I can see all the tortoise nails across every practitioner. Ah. Now, this is something that like, let's say you search a hashtag on Instagram.
And then you go to the place or they come to you.
It's a mix. Right. If you imagine like Airbnb style, we're a facilitator rather than a provider. So even now, people still message me saying, today someone messaged me saying, can I have two shellac in Soho? And I had to reply back today on the way here on the tube saying, we're not a salon, but if you search... So there, look, I've searched tortoise. You can see all every tortoise now.
I want to ask you, I'm just going to come off beauty stat for a minute and ask you, what are the trends in nails at the moment?
So
what are you seeing?
Tortoise is a big one. What you've got is actually incredibly popular, but with a neon tip.
Yes.
Because as you get older...
I saw them done like that for Nike.
Yeah. But as you get older, you want to maintain a bit of cool.
Yes.
But you don't want to be the person in a neon jumpsuit.
No, but that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
It's so interesting you say that because I am older and I'm in my late 50s
older.
And you're in your not in your late
30s. You're definitely not
but
older,
I still
by
want
way.
To be playful.
Yeah.
So in a way, being playful for the last, whatever, 10 years, been a trainer, right?
Mm.
So I can dress quite classic, but I put a pink trainer on and that's fine. I'm a little bit something... not tragic. And I feel the same way about the nails. Like I was looking at the girls who did Caddy, for example, who did mine at, what's her salon called?
Nuka.
Nuka.
Isn't it funny?
I love Nuka Nails. And it's on Portobello Road. And I go there. And I actually, not only do I learn about kind of what's cool in nails, but I don't feel ridiculous doing this because it's playful. So I've had the Swarovski crystal on my nail. I had black nails with a bit of a diamond. I've had this kind of like a French manicure, but today I've got black, kind of blood red, but I'm thinking of going neon next. So I feel that it's a really fun thing to do. It's kind of like the last hurrah in a way that I can do for nails. And I'm also, when we met a few months ago, you just had your brows microbladed.
Oh, yeah.
Which I want to talk a few things, Beauty, with you. I think we've given nails a lot of love. And I want to talk about your skincare because we haven't had anybody with dark skin on the show before. So you told me that you were telling me that you grew up using coconut oil on your skin.
Yeah.
Which is, tell me what your kind of...
So wait, let me unpack all the things that you said.
There's so many things I want to ask you. I mean, nails are fascinating.
Firstly, your nails is just one thing that you can use as an expression of your identity. By the way, she's still on the app.
Because I love nails, and unfortunately because of what I do, I have very boring I mean, I always look at colorful nails and I get super excited and it brings me great pleasure, but as a doctor I find it like impossible to have colored nails just because I don't think it's very professional. What can I do?
A really extreme trend in nails is tattooing your nail bed. So there is a girl in LA, Soto Gank, who's a tattoo artist, but specializes in like really feminine.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
What you can do is she tattooed Louis Vuitton logos on her girl's nails. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is it grows out. So
it's actually on the nail.
She tattoos your nail plate in color, and then it
grows.
So you have no product on your nail. It's so unique. Let me show you.
I'm gonna do that in flowers. Yeah, yeah. I would do more commie flowers on my nails.
So you could have it on flat, but it's like a forever, not a forever. It's a however long it takes your nail plate to grow out. So
what is that called?
If you search Soto Gang on Instagram, she's only done it for a few people, but it's amazing. But the point is about nails. Nails is just one thing in beauty that's an expression of your identity. It's the way you can say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is the tribe that I belong to, and that's why I'm obsessed with it. Like what you were saying earlier about coloured hair, just being like, do you know what? I work in a bank, but underneath my hair, I've got a stripe of rainbow and no one knows about it. It makes you feel that...
You're a rebel.
You know, you're still part of something.
You've taken identity. Yes.
And it's the thing that I've cared about the most in fashion. I didn't care about going to shows or buying more handbags. What I cared about the most is the things that we use to express our identity. It keeps you looking cool. So, you know, I think there are many things in beauty that can help you feel that you have a self-identity. Yeah. So then the other things you're saying, I had my eyebrows microbladed.
They look amazing.
The one thing that changed my life. Absolutely. I was like, why did I wait so long? I went to Rachel Pittman. Actually, I found Rachel Pittman really early on in Beauty Stat because I was just... I hadn't even built the app yet. I found her because I was just looking for practitioners who were doing very specialist stuff. I think that beauty is all about going to experts in one field rather than going to a salon where you can get brows, waxing nails, whatever.
Yeah.
And just finding the person who only does brows or only does nails or only does lashes. So I found her online. She was doing microblading. And we met and I was interviewing her, doing my customer research. And then she said, I'll do your brows if you want. I was like, okay. I kind of wasn't sure, very nervous about it. When she did it, I felt, it's hard to explain. I literally felt human again.
I think having the right brow, it's a very specific thing.
It's so, yeah, but
it frames the entire face.
I had no brows before. I've been penciling my eyebrows since I was 15 years old. This was like a revelation for me. So she did them, loved them. They lasted a year and a half, maybe longer actually. And then I sent everybody to her. I've probably sent her so much business. And she's so professional. Everything, she's just the perfect practitioner.
She was very interesting to talk to because I went to a very, very good person who does brows, who's done brows for years. And I think it's a real difference. Somebody who can shape a brow, tint a brow, and somebody who can microblade a brow. And I had my brows microbladed by probably not somebody who should have been microblading. So I sent a photograph of my brows because you told me about Rachel. And I sent a photograph of my brows to her, and she said, you know, when you have it done and it's not done right, you have to give it at least a year to fade, because or you have to have quite a kind of uncomfortable kind of bleaching
lightening process
which is expensive. So I'm waiting for mine to fade and go back to her.
She's amazing because she's so thorough, and she has like a 2-month wait list and doesn't care about she doesn't take on anybody unsuitable. You know when somebody says you're not right for this treatment, it's like a real integrity that she has. She just won't do it just because
she
can't.
I was honoured.
The thing about Rachel, which is really cool, is she comes from a fine art background, which is where I found my early nail artists. And it's about this cross-pollination of experience that I think makes someone incredible at their work. Also, I went back and had them done again a couple of months ago, as I said, and she completely improved her technique. She actually done my brows completely differently, but even better. It was almost like an acceleration.
You were happy, and then she made you even more
even happy.
I love that. Somebody who's perfecting their craft.
And you know, like when you look back at your eyebrow shape like 10 years ago, and you're like, oh my goodness, God. I can't believe what was I thinking? It was almost like that. I was like, oh yeah, she's made them even better. So yeah, can't rate microblading high enough. And my beauty stack, which is why I called Beauty Stack, is right now I'm wearing a wig from Cypher. I've never worn a wig before. I've always worn extensions with my own hair. I wanted to stop wearing extensions because I was straightening my natural afro too much, heat damaging my curls. So I started wearing braids. I wore them for 2 years and I was like, I kind of just miss straight hair again, but I don't want to straighten it. She made me this wig. And you love it, don't you? You love it.
I love it. It looks beautiful.
And then the next in my stack is my brows, as I said. And then my lashes. I get lash extensions because I just like to wake up and do as little as possible. Then in terms of my skin, people always comment on, as we discussed, black skin being more youthful looking, but genuinely I just think we got a head start on the moisturizing, because when you're black, your mom moisturizes your face from the day you're born. Like butter, coconut oil, it doesn't matter, it's just universally called cream. And it's like
cream from the kitchen,
just cream from wherever. And you know something, my son, who's mixed race, his dad's Irish Italian, Irish Cape Malay actually, and I'm Jamaican Indian, and he's mixed race, and every morning I cream his face and he hates it. I actually put jasmine oil, you know, the herbivore, it's so expensive, I put it on his face. It's just because I love the smell. But like, I'm like, have you brushed your teeth? Put your shoes on, put your school coat on, brush your teeth. And the very last thing I do before we leave the house is, no, not like that. It's a very black thing to just smear it. And he's like, but he does it, and that's what keeps his skin good. And then he goes to his dad's for 3 days, you know, half the week.
And then you can see.
And he gets crusty, and then he comes back, and then I've got to moisturise it again.
I don't think you're still using coconut oil on your skin. What are you using on
your skin? So I do use coconut oil, but very pure coconut oil, literally from Jamaica, a woman. Every time I go to Jamaica, I will buy it from the market where they've literally grated the oil, dried it out, everything. And they transfer it to a rum bottle, and that's how you can carry it back to England. I use coconut oil when my skin is incredibly stressed, like if I get stress rash or anything. But typically, the things you want to hear, I use vitamin C, the SkinCeuticals one, the ferulic. I use a hyaluronic acid, don't really care which one. I'm pretty low maintenance. I use an SPF occasionally.
Do you get any pigmentation issues?
Yeah, on my chin. Lower mouth. If I pick a spot, it will scar for a long time, and that bothers me. So I got two stress spots 2 weeks ago. But before this,
the scarring goes dark.
The scarring goes dark, and then I have to wait for the cycle. I just started using a retinol for the first time.
Congratulations.
Only last week. I know, everyone's happy for me now.
Welcome to adult skincare.
I know, I'm literally an adult now. So I'm using the ferulic, the retinol, and any hyaluronic acid, and then a night oil or a coconut oil if my skin's stressed.
There's a little bit of profilo in there.
Secrets
are coming out.
Do you know what? I actually forgot about it. So
that's how good it is.
I did it because you told me to. So I listened to
it. I did it because I do whatever Marianne tells me.
I heard it on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So I heard it on the podcast because I'm terrible. Another reason I founded Beauty Stack is because I'm terrible at scheduling. Hate it. Bane of my life. So when I was just going to get my a facial, I'd spoken about it before, and I go to Skin and Sanctuary in Victoria Park. It's one of the most beautiful clinics. I love going there. And I had a facial because I was just tired. And then she was like, do you actually want to do it now? Because you've been talking about it since...
The profiling.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then I had to check the dates because they have to be exactly 28 days, I think, or something.
They don't have to be exactly, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Roughly. So I was check the dates. So I had it done, but I haven't had my second shot yet.
But you were enjoying it. You wrote me and said...
Yeah, I think I look good.
Yeah, you look good too.
Well, you are beautiful, so.
But it's hard for me to tell.
I do think there's a kind of hydrated thing that I notice. Mm. I mean, I haven't seen you that many times since we had breakfast.
I think I look pretty normal right now.
I think you look great.
But I think this is normal for me.
Okay.
I think when I have the next one, plus I've just started eating clean again for the first time in like 6 months, I think the combination of eating clean plus gym plus profilo...
You're a goddess. You're already a goddess.
I'm getting ready for summer. I started Beauty Stack because I genuinely love being in the hands of a practitioner.
Mm.
I just think that it's...
I do too.
So soothing.
I do too.
I think when
that's why we're here.
Because you know what it is? I'm from Wolverhampton. My family aren't here. There's something about, like, I have a lack of intimate touch, like, human intimate touch.
And that's...
And care, and just generally, like, I'm not about going to the doctor.
You
want to
be touched.
Definitely.
Being cared for.
It's very important, of course.
I just think that this industry, and I mean the full spectrum of the industry, from wellness and fitness and beauty and everything, is actually a social good. I think historically humans have always had grooming rituals to some degree, and I think that what we do is literally a national service. And I feel like when I lie down on a bed, doesn't matter what's being done, it's like my body just goes, and I just feel like...
A little bit of me time, of course.
Do you know what it is as well? It's a bit of surrender for me. It's the, like, surrendering to somebody else when so busy all the time. So yeah, I just...
When you surrendered to somebody else, you went straight to sleep. We took you to Joanne Evans, Marianne. You were like, because Marianne's in control of everything. This is her empire. And we took her to Joanne Evans to have a facial.
I fell asleep.
And you
fell
asleep.
Yeah. Within 30 seconds.
It's like when someone goes on holiday and then their body just starts shutting down because they can't even compute it, you know?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I'm super happy to let anybody take control for an hour or two, whatever.
I love it.
Shamadine, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was very...
Yes,
thank you. And thank you for creating a necessity.
I love this podcast. You guys keep doing what
you're doing. Oh, thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialing a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.